is a study, a secondary analysis of a behavioral intervention for childhood cancer survivors. Now, this is literature about survivors of childhood cancer in general, Hodgkin's survivors number, and those survivors who experience breast cancer risks. So the risks are there for Hodgkin's survivors, 9.9%, 12.2%, and other childhood cancers. Many of these childhood cancer survivors develop breast cancer, secondary breast cancer, which is a real concern in this population. This is a mammography scorecard which just identifies some of the risk factors: lack of insurance, additional radiation exposure, less effective indents, premenopausal breast tissue, underutilization of preventive health care. When you look at the statistics in these final three studies, mammography versus breast self-examination in detection of abnormal findings, you see that mammography is less effective than breast self-exam in both the two studies. So this was part of the rationale for the work that was done on the original study. Cheryl said this is the most important slide. This is one you need to pay attention to: factors supporting or negating breast self-examination in cancer survivors. So those supporting factors include the valuing of breast self-exam, belief, knowledge, confidence in performing the exam, and having supportive partners or family members. The negating behaviors are fear, embarrassment, forgetfulness. African-American Hispanic background is a factor, as well as little interest or concern in future health issues. I mentioned that this is a secondary data analysis. The original study was a longitudinal study. It was a randomized trial, multi-component educational intervention. The youth who were participants were 12 to 18 years of age, in remission. It was stratified by sex and age, and there were 132 in the treatment arm and 135 in the standard care arm. The original study used the health belief model as its conceptual frame for looking at knowledge, risk perception, and health behaviors. The intervention, this slide describes to you the components of the intervention: clinical assessment, risk counseling, and then introduction of breast self-examination, provider exam, return demonstration, and practice on models. This is the aha when Cheryl emerges as a nurse researcher at St. Jude's and poses other questions, that there's a step or two more that you could use here, things that you could think about or look at here that are important. When the original authors of the work did the primary study, they lumped together 15 different behaviors, so they didn't sort out different behaviors. They had one multiple score that showed the higher score, the more positive the behavior. And part of Dr. Cox's work has been to kind of disentangle those behaviors and look at different causes and different factors that might influence different behaviors. And it would mean a lot, have a lot of information in terms of potential interventions. So she proposed doing this secondary analysis using the Cox's model, the interaction model of client health behavior. And those of you who are not familiar with it, client singularity is one major component that includes the background variables and the dynamic variables of intrinsic motivation, of cognitive appraisal, and affective response. There is a reciprocal box that moves information back and forth here, but the client-professional interaction is an important component leading to health outcomes. This is how she translates the interaction model of client health behavior for this cancer population. And the background variables included age, diagnosis, and the parent's highest grade level. The dynamic variables, intrinsic motivation, included measures of a need to change or the want to change. Cognitive appraisal was measured in this case, by susceptibility and seriousness, which are constructs of the health belief model. Perceived efficacy, which had been added to the health belief model back in the 80s, and then disease treatment knowledge and symptoms, and then affective response, all these affective dimensions of worry about appearance, physical problems, and then general fears related to cancer. And this leads to information with tailored risks and information that can be directed towards breast self-examination skills and a more positive health outcome. T-tests, the ANOVA analysis, and then finally ANCOVA analysis was used on the secondary sample. This is a description of the patient characteristics. Hopefully you can see that from the back. 84% Caucasian, 54% 9th to 12th grade, 51% mother's highest education up through 12, father's highest education 13 to 18, there was 52%, and then family income, the higher income, 35 to 60,000, 58%. Now, the results from baseline to time one, there was an increase in breast self-examination practice. There was a decrease in symptoms. There were decreases in fears about cancer, increased knowledge, increased perceptions of seriousness, and increased motivation. So the intervention had some effect, or there's an assumption that the intervention had some effect. These were changes from time baseline to time one. In terms of baseline predictors of breast self-examination, being older age, higher school grade, perceptions, less concern about appearance, and then this interactive effect of having trouble staying healthy times length of time, and then perceived efficacy of behavior over a period of time. The predictors at follow-up were older age, higher school grade, trouble staying healthy, and then mother's highest grade as an interactive factor times this length of time factor. She ran analysis, covariance analysis of predictors for follow-up, breast self-examination, controlling for age, grade, and baseline. Baseline susceptibility times grade had an interactive effect. The diagnosis of leukemia or lymphoma was a significant predictor. And then a series of interactive effects between grade and fear of cancer's return, general cancer fears, or mother's education. So, female childhood cancer survivors are at greatest risk. Young, newly pubescent females are at greatest risk. Those who are fearful that cancer will return, those who are fearful about cancer in general, those who lack motivation, and those youths who had diagnosis of bone or soft tissue sarcomas, and interestingly, those with more highly educated parents. I think one of the messages of Cox's work in many areas is that one size does not fit all in terms of intervention, that you really have to utilize a systematic approach to understand your patient population. And you have to identify and elicit fears and anxieties, understand what these are. You need to use modeling techniques to be able to have a good return demonstration. Personalized risk information needs to be offered. And support, autonomy, acknowledging the difficulty of behavior change is important with this and any population. And ultimately, tailored information related to background factors, cognitive appraisal, those knowledge, beliefs, and risks, motivation, and then affect, fears, or worries. There are limitations in the study, and she identifies those as the measurement of breast self-exam, single item variables, and that the study was powered originally on two genders, and then she's taken out this one variable of breast self-exam. And in conclusion, the more tailored the intervention to the uniqueness of the individual patient, the greater the likelihood that we're going to have positive outcomes. And motivation is increased when patients really understand their risk, when they feel competent, and when you can eliminate or reduce some of these fears and worries. So I think that's it. think that is the concluding slide. I would take questions, but I'm not sure that I could answer your questions. But I hope you appreciate the fact that I would try to bring to you some of Cheryl's work. And she has a few papers in publication already on these series of secondary analysis with this childhood cancer survivor population. So I hope you look to the literature for those.